All together now, Ray and Alison. High on a hill is a lonely goatherd. We're joined in studio by Ray O'Neill and Alison Keating. They're our relationship counsellors, and good to see you again.
Good to see you, Ray.
Yeah. Fans of Sound of Music, Alison?
Oh, yes.
Yes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. What would you do at Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, dear Ray and Alison, can you please ask advice from Ray and Alison? How can you best support my spouse who has ADHD while keeping your own sanity and space for your own self-care? Many thanks. Short to the point, Ray.
Yeah, look, I think that in terms of, I would direct you actually towards the internet, towards Facebook, towards support groups and online spaces, and to talk with your partner about reaching out for that support. Because sometimes when a partner has an issue, or they don't realise the impact it's having on you because they're so caught up in the impact it's having on them, that when they see you looking for support, there's some sense of solidarity, but also a sense of awareness that, oh, OK, this is impacting on you as well.
Okay, Alison.
There's a great couple that I follow, and it's ADHD underscore love. I'll put it up on my page on the Practical Psychology on Instagram. He's neurotypical, she has ADHD, and they explain so many normal everyday scenarios as why it takes her so long to get ready, her time blindness. There's so many really good practical things, and you see it from her perspective, you see it from his perspective. I think it really helps, and like Ray, also get the group support as well. Mm.
Who did I interview recently who had ADHD? Paris Hilton has ADHD, and it explained, she in her book, it's actually a really well written book, and anybody who's trying to understand ADHD, they might read her book, because it's all that. There's no concept of time.
No.
Always late. Yeah. Always a little bit messy. You know, panic, last minute stuff. And that's all, they're all symptoms of ADHD.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like the hyper focus of, you know, being really interested in something and another project, not actually finishing anything. And how difficult it is in a relationship. So that one is a great example. That couple, they're really good. And he does it from a real place of love as well.
Yes,
it's not kind of like, oh, you really, this is really wrecking our relationship. It just shows the investment he puts in to understand. And then in terms of how they support themselves, I would think that you take time for yourself as well, and actually kind of stuff within your body, so kind of somatic based stuff, whereby you kind of intentionally go out in nature, you know, take small breaks every day, and actually put boundaries in and say, look, I need to take a break for like 20 minutes and then come back to it. I think that would actually help.
Okay.
And I think when one spouse has a diagnosis of any kind or has an issue or a problem, sometimes you can feel guilty as the spouse, because obviously they've got a question, an issue, and it's just, there's nothing for you to feel guilty around. It's great that you've reached out for support. Please go on ahead.
Yeah, yeah. This is a very positive thing.
Absolutely.
Very positive thing. Okay. Now, dear Ray and Alison, if you have a husband who is addicted to porn and wants his wife to behave like the porn star he is watching, which she doesn't want to, is this abnormal, and how should she handle it? She had already tried to speak to her husband and say she is not interested, and she's then called nasty names for not cooperating. Wow. There's a lot going on here. This is written in the third person. We can't assume it's the person writing it who's involved in this relationship. But anyway, the advice will be heard.
So, this person sounds really fed up. I'm wondering how they've talked about this. How has this conversation been broached? Is it just in argument? At what point, you know, does it say, you know, is it in the bedroom that these conversations are having, that he's saying, can we try this, or she's saying, can we try that? And then, you know, nothing's happening or upset is happening. So I'm wondering when these conversations are happening, and if they're happening in the bedroom, to have them during the day, and there's a lot to sort through. Myself and Ray were talking, and he has different ideas on it, so we'll share our differing ideas on it.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
That's
a good time to have your opinion. I guess it'd be my, like Alison says, like there's a lot going on behind here. And I think what's probably happened is there's two people trapped in a sense of shame and not knowing how to do sexuality. If in any way this person has overtly or indirectly said to their husband, you're addicted to porn, that's going to get a huge reaction against it.
Okay, can I just stop you there for a second and just say to people, and they probably know already, that what we're going to be talking about in the next few minutes will not be suitable for small ears. So continue, Ray. Thank you.
So just to be mindful, a lot of people, men especially, have access to pornography. Pornography has absolutely saturated our culture. You can't do a Google search without getting a porn option of it. And yet there's no conversations that we're having as a society to catch up with what the internet has provided. So for this man, rightly or wrongly, what he has learned or seen through pornography might seem normal. And again, this may sound strange. He's trying to translate what happened on the screen into something in his relationship. He's probably gone about it very clumsily, very inappropriately, and obviously very hurtfully. But the two people need to take a step back and just kind of, how do we talk about sex that's about us and not about a reenactment of what's been seen on the screen?
Yeah.
And I also think
that's very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
No, because like a lot of men are being introduced to sex through porn and women. So their sex education, if you like, is from porn,
yeah.
Which doesn't reflect real life in the slightest. So when they get into a real relationship and, you know, sex becomes a thing, they just try and reenact it. So it's a big ask then to get them to relearn everything.
It's
a big ask for the other person involved to ask them to do that. So it's a big problem, isn't it, in society that we have?
A huge problem. That's where having these conversations, not just amongst teenagers, but amongst 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 60-somethings, we need to have another set of conversations away from pornography. Otherwise, pornography has a monopoly.
Right. So what are those conversations then?
Amongst friends, amongst groups, in television, in soap operas, in the Late Late Show, whatever it might be, hear ourselves having a conversation. Yeah. We have to do something to counterbalance the dominance and the monopoly that pornography has around what is normal around sex.
The only thing I'd worry about is that in their relationship, he's calling her nasty names because she's not cooperating.
Mm.
So bringing it back to them, how is that going to actually stop? How is she going to put a boundary in place for that he can't actually be nasty towards her?
Yes, yeah.
Just because she's not going along with what he actually, you know, and again, yes, it's the conversation, but...
But it's a very difficult conversation for her to have. You know, it's isn't it? Because this person has been trained in a certain way.
Yeah.
And when he's not getting his way, he's been nasty to her. And so I don't know what the answer is. I was watching a Katie Hannon programme recently where they had young adults on. And girls talking about choking, and that was expected of them as part of sex. This is all coming from porn.
Yeah.
And you're right, we're not, that was the first time I saw that been discussed on television.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to be discussing the new curriculum on Drive Time, I hear, so that's out. I doubt that they'll mention choking in that, will they?
But the kids will know this.
Yeah.
And that's why, again, what Alison's saying, like the name calling, like that happens when we're, you know, when we feel under threat. I think there is a more complex story. I think she is very, very understandably, you know, disgusted potentially by his porn usage. But it's so normalised to him and amongst his peer group and gender group. So there's two people that are coming at very different places and they are not alone. I don't know any couple in Ireland that isn't trying to negotiate where pornography is for them as individuals or for them in their relationship.
How do you deal with it in your work, Alison, when a couple come in and one person is watching what the other person considers to be too much porn?
Like what Ray is saying, for one couple, it'll be fine and there actually won't be a problem and actually they might engage in it together. The problem and the issue is when, perhaps more like this situation, is when one person is, you know, watching porn and the other person is really against it, and it creates a huge kind of value difference in their relationship that it can be a deal breaker for people. So it's down to each individual couple and what actually works for you both, and going through some level of, well, what is arousal for us? What is desire for us? You know, how can we come about this together in a kind of a mutually satisfying way to talk about, you know, sexual experiences that were good for you or ones that were bad? These are the conversations that need to be had together as a couple to kind of bring a sense of intimacy and connection.
But if a man has only ever got aroused watching porn and then he's in a real life situation, That creates problems, doesn't it? Because these real life situations don't match what he's seen on porn.
Yeah.
And that's going to affect his performance. I don't know.
Absolutely, because one of the things with pornography is it's fairly exclusively visual.
Mm.
And sex is a multi-sensory activity. So there should be five senses engaged, not least of all the kinesthetic experience of touch. That's where the power of sexuality happens. But pornography has very cleverly moved it all into the visual. And so we're all caught up in how our bodies look during sex rather than in what I feel during sex or what you feel during sex. And so we have to create another set of conversations.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yes. Mm. Yeah. We have to talk about it. Of course, men are more likely to be visually stimulated than women. They because we are different when it comes to sex and how we are aroused, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something we will come back to. Where are we at now? Let's see where we get to this one. Yeah, I've been friends with this guy for years. He has always... We didn't say... What does this woman need to do? Sorry, the woman with...
Again, try and talk to your husband and to the best of your abilities, put your judgment aside so that he can hopefully put his judgment aside. I get that you're hurt and I absolutely get that you're rightly angry, but he's also ashamed. It's so difficult to have conversations around sex because we're all ashamed to talk about it.
Right. I've been friends with this guy for years. He has always been in a relationship since I've known him, but recently broke up with his girlfriend of 3 years. He was always complaining about how unhappy he was when he was with her and said on a couple of occasions that he would rather be with someone that he was comfortable with, like me. At the time, I paid no heed to it. I'm happily single after a breakup last year and I've enjoyed giving myself all my own energy rather than putting it into someone else. But lately, I've started to feel differently. I've started to notice how attractive he is. I don't know why I didn't before. He was always just my mate since college. I hit 35 last month. So maybe the idea of settling down with someone is more appealing or something. We've never come close to being together before, not even a drunken kiss when we would have had many the opportunity. We get on so well and think we would be really compatible in a relationship, but I don't know how to broach the subject. I'm worried I will make a total fool of myself and potentially ruin a very important friendship with someone I care for very deeply. But then I don't want to deny myself the chance of being with them romantically. He never stays single for long. So I don't want to waste too much time. So I'd appreciate any advice you could give on this one. Go and write a book and make it into a movie. No, sorry. So what's the advice, Alison?
I hear a race against time.
Mm.
So, you know, ages can create milestones for people. And I think turning 35 has been a big point for her. But even just using the word, you know, that I should settle down. Why? You know, I'd get her to question, well, why does she want to settle down, or does she? Or does she feel she should because of her age? What's her thinking around it? Is she thinking about children? And also then it's a little disconcerting that she feels there's a race, that he's going to be with someone quickly, which perhaps waves a little red flag that he's not able to be on his own. I'm interested that they, you know, they had many of the opportunities. So was there any kind of attraction there? How does she know that?
Yeah.
They didn't act on it. I like that she says, basically, when he was in the relationship, she didn't feel like she kind of closed off the option in her head, and potentially that option is there now. She needs time to really think about what she actually wants first, but not feeling against the clock on whether he'll find someone quickly or not.
20 seconds.
Yeah, the one that got away, usually let them get away. If you haven't got it together, both of you, and especially you, need to ask yourself why. Unless you want to write the rom-com script and prove us all wrong.
I like your face, Ray. I'm not saying it can't work out. Just some thought.
Yeah, yeah, and he might be writing to some other radio show saying exactly the same thing.
Oh, now we've got the rom-com perfectly.
Well, look, whatever you do, I hope hopefully it works out. Ray, thanks so much.
Cheers.
Alison, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Sarah and Cormac are on the way in Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.